We love you this morning. We praise you. We magnify you. Lord, as we lift up the praises of an awesome, mighty God, we just invite your presence here, Lord, to destroy yokes and lift burdens. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen.
I raise a hallelujah. What holds your heart? What stirs your soul? What matters come to mind? The cares you keep, the thoughts you think, it's not all wasted time. Seeking you will find. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. There's still good news worth repeating. So let your roll by. We wonder why
And it's a waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We praise you, mighty God. Glory to God. Father, we love you this morning. We magnify your holy name. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, I just praise you and magnify you. You are a God who hears our prayers and answers our prayers, Lord God. And Father, we want to lift up our sister Raquel, Rocky, Lord God. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over her, Lord God. No weapon formed against her shall prosper. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for your anointing that destroys any yoke, Lord God. And Father, I just praise you now. I look forward, Lord God, to hearing those testimonies of how God broke through the darkness and delivered her out of this sickness. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Anybody need an offering envelope? Bernie's got them. In case you don't know, Rocky was the lady that led the dance team that was here last fall. We call her Rocky. She was ministering in Texas. Hallelujah. What do you say? Let's pray and you can give, and then I'll finish my story. Father, I thank you for seed we can sow into your kingdom. I thank you, Father, we place that seed in the hand of a mighty God. You'll multiply it. You'll use it to expand your kingdom and cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Anyway, she got a cut on her heel. It has caused veins in her arm to calcify, shutting off the blood flow to her hands and to that foot that's not healing well. But we're believing God it will get lined up with the word of God, and by his stripes she is healed. And the doctor said we've got about 4 to 6 weeks and see if those veins can pop back somehow. Otherwise, they're talking about amputating. And that would be for someone who lives to dance before the Lord, that would be difficult. Amen. So please, please continue to lift up Sister Rocky. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to where do I want to start? Turn with me to Psalms 82, and then we're going to, it's where we started last week. Hallelujah. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. There is none like you. And Father, I pray that you would anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. In Psalms 82, and we read it last week, it starts out, it says, God. That's that Hebrew word we talked about, Elohim. Remember, I said it can be used to describe God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or it can be plural and can be used to define God's divine counsel. Okay, it's plural. So God stands in the, how many of your English Bibles say congregation? Does anybody's English Bible say council? Assembly? Okay. All right, Elohim stands in the council of the mighty. The mighty there are the B'nai Elohim, the sons of God. He judges among the Elohim, these gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? See, God is about to judge some of the divine council. And he's going to judge them because they have judged unjustly and they show partiality to the wicked. Number three, it says, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. I said you are gods, Elohim, and all of you are children of El Elyon, the Most High God. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. So I just wanted to bring that fresh to your mind, that God is seated within his divine counsel, the B'nai Elohim. But remember, like we said in Sunday school, there is only one Yahweh. There is only one God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right? But he is seated in this council of divine beings. And it says here that he is actually going to judge these divine beings, or at least some of them. Now, before we go on, I want us to go to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Because I just want to prove something with two or three scriptures. Exodus 15, verse 11, if my notes are right. It says, now watch this. Who is like you, O Yahweh, among the gods, among the Elohim? Who is like you? Who is like you among your council? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The question that is asked here, this happens right after the exodus out of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is destroyed. Amen? And if you get down to verse 18, it says, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. His kingship is undeclared. But the question is asked in verse 11, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods, among the council? The answer is none. None is like him. If you go to Deuteronomy, page 235, got a Bible like mine. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 3, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Well, I'm in chapter 4. That won't work. Verse 24. We'll read verse 23. Then I pleaded with Yahweh at the time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? Again, the answer to the question is there is none like him. There's only one. All right, let's look at what King Solomon said about God in 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 23. Start in verse 22. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants, who walk before you with all their hearts. Now, let's read it again. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you. Now, you're in 1 Kings. I want you to go over to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. I'll make this clear in a minute. We'll probably start around verse 16 here. Now, we're going to read here in a minute Paul's warning to the children of Israel. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to see Paul describes the children of Israel and their trip into the promised land, and he's going to warn us about some things that they did. All right? Now, we just read the text that said, "There is no God like you, either in heaven or on earth." You know, on earth, man, for a long time, has been carving images. How many of you know part of the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments is, "Thou shalt have no graven images," right? You know, there's all kinds of sculptors who've sculpted the bust or the head of about all the Caesars. You know, there's even some artists have, you know, I don't know which one it was. Who did Moses and put horns on him? Which one was that? Da Vinci or Da Vinci? Was it Da Vinci? Well, they put horns on him just because of a bad translation from the Hebrew that talked about the glory that was on Moses. Remember when Moses came down, people couldn't stand to look at his face? Well, the way they translated that word, the Hebrew word, into Greek and Latin, Da Vinci thought it meant horns, so he gave him a couple horns when it was really talking about the glory and the presence of God on him. Okay? That's how that happened. But man has always carved images, okay? And if you ever notice some of these ancient little statues they make out of gold or they make out of stone, you know, most of them have their mouth open. You know why? That's because idol worship, if you just had a stone statue with his mouth open, you really don't have anything. But if you can coerce the evil spirit to come into that statue, now you've got a true idol. Remember the text. There's no God in heaven or on earth. Okay? So for centuries, I believe since mankind, since the first image was made, some of these fallen sons of God have been inhabiting these idols that people worshiped. Okay? We're going to look at the children of Israel here right now. Deuteronomy 32, verse 16. Talking about the children of Israel, how they provoked God. They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. Remember, God, every time they went somewhere, God told them, don't take any wives. Don't take any pagan wives. Because if you take pagan wives, they're going to be bringing their pagan gods. He says, they provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know. To new gods, new arrivals, that your fathers did not fear. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you. Wow. But notice the wording. It says you worshiped demons. That's the evil entity, the evil supernatural being, divine being behind the idol. All right? Now, let's go over to Psalms 106. Now, in your Hebrew Bible, the word shadim, I'll put it up here for you. Shadim, it's translated demon. Okay. Now, you only see that translation three times in the Hebrew Bible. You see it a lot more in the New Testament. All right. Where did I say to go? Psalms 106. Well, Psalms 86 is not going to work. Psalms 106. Oh, where do we want to start? Let's go to verse 32. Again, here's the children of Israel. They are angering God. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. That's why Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. You remember that? They called it the waters of strife. They were complaining, moaning, and groaning, and out of his anger, Moses struck the rock. Of course, water came out of that rock and watered them, but Moses never was allowed to go into the promised land because of that. 33. Because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons, the Shadim. Okay. Now the Shadim or demons, as we go along in this series, we're going to find out they are related to the divine counsel of God, the fallen ones, the rebellious ones. Okay. So what I want you to understand is anytime somebody was worshiping an idol, there was a demonic presence, an evil spirit behind that idol that would cause them to do what? Sacrifice their children to the god of Molech. Now we've murdered 70 million babies in this nation alone. I don't know how many around the world. How many know it's not natural? It's not natural to kill a child. So I would suggest to you today that the evil entities behind idol worship that offered their children up to these idols is the same evil demonic spirits that's behind abortion. Amen. Hmm? Amen. Same evil. All right? Now, let's go over and see what Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I've forewarned you what he's going to tell you. We'll start in verse 1. I won't keep you too awful long this morning. You've already had to listen to me for an hour. All good. Thank you. Okay. We'll keep going an extra 30 minutes. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. What clouds are you talking about? That pillar of cloud by day. They were under God. And they all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank of the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ or Messiah. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Don't lust after evil things. I got to tell you, Paul's letter here fits today. We could tell people in America, quit lusting after evil things. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. You know, if you search out history, you will find that one of the common denominators between all the ancient pagan gods was some type of sexual immorality. It was an evil demonic spirit. In the worship of the, what they call them guys? The imperial worship of the Caesars. You know, they had temples built to Caesar. You had to go in there and offer up your offering to Caesar. And after you offered up your offering, you had sex with one of the temple prostitutes, whether it was a male or a female. So there's all, that's just a common denominator. Sexual immorality was a common denominator behind the worship of false gods. They're evil entities. It's an evil influence. I will submit to you this morning that that same evil influence is alive and well in America today. Verse 9, nor let us tempt Messiah as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. You know who the destroyer is, don't you? In Revelations 9, there's a cat called Abaddon in Hebrew, Apollyon in the Greek, and he is over the bottomless pit. So he very possibly could have been the death angel in the Exodus. Verse 11, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such is common to man. But God is faithful. In the midst of the evil that we live in this society, God is faithful. Amen. No temptation will overtake you, he says. Why? Because I'm so strong? No, because God is faithful. Amen. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Verse 14, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I mean, Paul's really hammering at idolatry, isn't he? I speak to the wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Messiah? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Messiah? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Talking about Messiah, the bread of life. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than them? I want to say something to you. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Amen. When you go vote, and you vote for someone who believes in policies that are evil and contrary to the word of God, you might call yourself a Christian, but I believe you're trying to partake of both tables. I'm just saying. I'm trying to bring it down to where we're all at today. Now, the sons of God, the B'nai Elohim that we talked about last week, this divine counsel of God, they are divine beings, right?
Amen.
They are all called B'nai Elohim, sons of God. And many of them have fallen, have rebelled against Yahweh, against God. All right? However, God has one son that is unique and far above the B'nai Elohim, the counsel of God. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 1. John chapter 1, you're not too far from him. John chapter 1. Let's just start in verse 1 because this is really good. Okay? It's not all going to pertain to what we're talking about, but it's just really good. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, but of the will of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the Greek text, Paul uses a word, monogenes, M-O-N-O-G-E-N-N-E-S, monogenes. And you know what it means? It's translated only begotten, but it means unique, other than. How many times have we said that about the Father here in this church when we talk about His holiness? Amen? It means one of a kind. It's talking about Jesus. He's a son of God. Amen. The Bible refers to the divine counsel of God as sons of God. But they're not begotten.
Amen.
There's only one that John said was begotten. There's only one that's unique among the sons of God. And we know that to be Jesus. Amen. Turn with me to Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. We got a few more scriptures and we'll be finished here in a minute. Jeremiah 32. And let's go to verse 17. 16. Now when I had delivered the purchase deed to Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power an outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Right? Nothing is too hard for God. That means nothing. All right? Now, that's the God you serve. And He has a son. He has many sons. B'nai Elohim. Many sons on that council. But He only has one that is one of a kind and that is unique. He only has one that became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Now, let's go to Job. I want to show you something. I want to show you how unique he is. We're going over to Job. He's right before Psalms. And we're going to Job 38. We read part of this last week, talking about the divine counsel of God, those sons of God, the B'nai Elohim. Now watch. Show you how unique Jesus is. 38 verse 7. Let's start in verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" Anybody you know ever tried to give you some counsel and they didn't know more about it than the man in the moon? Counsel without knowledge. Verse 3, "Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut in the sea with doors," told the sea it can only go so far, "when it burst forth and issued from the womb." I want to go back to verse 7. While God was laying the foundations of the earth, his divine counsel, the sons of God, during verse 7, they shouted for joy. They were watching God create the heavens and the earth. Amen. All right? They were there at creation watching. Now, let's go to Proverbs 8. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Many of the B'nai sons of God watched the creation, but there was only one son who was unique, one of a kind, that took part in creation. Amen? Amen. In verse 30, 22 of Psalms, or Proverbs 8, verse 22, page 813, got a Bible like mine. It says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old." In other words, before God did anything, he possessed something. He says, "I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth." God possessed this. "When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And watch, and my delight was with the sons of men." Who was this speaking? Wisdom. God's wisdom. How many of you know you can't separate God's wisdom from his word? Amen. We could quote John this way. In the beginning was the wisdom, right? The beginning was the word or the wisdom of God. That wisdom was God, and that wisdom was with God. Amen. So wisdom is speaking. Wisdom says he was there before the beginning. This one, this unique son, the only begotten son, was the wisdom of God, that most precious instrument of creation, before the foundation of the world. And that wisdom came to earth as a man, put on flesh, and died for you and I. Amen. Let's go over to Colossians. Last one in my notes. Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. There's only one chapter one, Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9 says, for this reason, page 1671, got a Bible like mine. It says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence, which means first place in our life. He is the firstborn from the dead. Remember in Sunday school we talked about Sheol having two compartments, one of paradise and one of torment. Jesus died, his spirit went into Sheol, right? Okay. And we know that in Sheol, God's enemies are there. Evil entities are there, right? But Jesus is resurrected, right? And we know that he has now conquered what? Death, hell, and the grave. Amen? Okay. That makes him, or gives him, preeminence over all the sons of God, whether in heaven, on earth, or in hell. Amen. Jesus is triumphant. We don't fear evil because we are in Messiah Jesus. Amen. His blood has washed us, cleansed us. Amen. Amen. So we don't have to fear evil or any fallen sons of God, because the unique one, the one of a kind, the wisdom of God at creation is dwelling in us. Amen? In the person of the Holy Spirit. Glory, glory, glory. Paul calls him the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Messiah. And he's dwelling in us. Amen? So we're about to take communion. And let communion, let the elements of communion remind you of the body of Jesus, which was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him, and by his stripes you are healed. Amen. Amen. Through his work at Calvary and his resurrection from the dead, he has overcome evil in this world. Amen. And you know what? The Bible tells us, Paul tells us, and remember, Paul's our favorite, right? He spent 3 years on the backside of the Arabian desert being taught by Jesus. I don't think it gets any better than that. So I got a lot. Everybody be waiting in line to see Jesus. I want to see him too. I want to pick Paul's brain too. You know? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You ready for this? Paul will write, you and I, who are in Messiah Jesus, are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And the best definition of more than a conqueror that I ever heard was when R.W. Shambach, he said, when Evander Holyfield beat Mike Tyson, he was a conqueror. But when Evander Holyfield took that $20 million check to Mrs. Holyfield, she was more than a conqueror. She didn't have to fight. Your battle's already been won. Amen. Hallelujah. He is that unique, one of a kind Son of the Most High God. Amen. And what did it say? It said his wisdom said his delight was in the sons of men, humanity, you and I. He loved us before the foundation of the world. And he submitted himself to the plan of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay.